Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know? Nerd alert! Monday is 25 years that Robert Kraft purchased the New England Patriots. It's perfect timing, right? Monday is the 25th anniversary of Bob Kraft buying the New England Patriots for a then NFL record $175 million. They are worth a lot more today. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our Championship Sunday edition of After Hours. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I just looked up at the TV, and one more time I'm seeing it. In fact, it won't be the last time. I wish I had a dollar for every time I saw in studio tonight, Nickell Robey-Coleman plowing over Tommy Lee Lewis. Yes, that's a moment that we will not forget from the NFC Championship game. But did you know the Saints allowed 212 yards to the Rams in the fourth quarter and overtime? 212 yards in fourth quarter and overtime. Not to mention Drew Brees threw an interception when they had the ball in overtime. For every guy and gal out there who says to me, the refs hose the Saints and the refs are the reason that the Saints lost, I can give you reasons why the Saints lost this game that have nothing to do with the referees. But the Rams deserve the praise because they were down 13-0. They had to come back. They had to stabilize in front of that massive crowd. Their kicker had to make two long field goals in order for them to advance. The offense was creative. Jared Goff executed. From Sammy Watkins to Brandon Cooks to Robert Woods to C.J. Anderson, they had guys make big plays. And now they're back in their first Super Bowl since the 2001 season facing, oh, wait, the same team with the same quarterback. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Third consecutive Super Bowl. The ninth between Brady and Bill Belichick, and the 11th for the franchise overall. What's old is new again. We already knew that Brady was the oldest quarterback ever to start a Super Bowl, and he's going to extend that record. Pretty impressive to see the way the Pats morphed their game plan and adjusted to not just a championship game on the road, but to what they knew the Chiefs could do with the football. How often do you see the Patriots play a ball control game? That's not typically what they do. A lot of times what the offense does is play hurry up and try to catch the defense off balance and off guard. And instead of playing the hurry up offense, the Patriots turn to a slow burn. You want to know a stat that just captures exactly what happened in this game between the Pats and Chiefs? Time of possession. Listen to these numbers. 43 minutes, 59 seconds time of possession for the Patriots. 20 minutes, 53 seconds for the Chiefs. The Patriots were able to knife through the Chiefs' defense in overtime because the Chiefs were worn out. They were worn out. Listen to this number. You want another one? 94 plays for the Patriots, 47 for the Chiefs. Those are offensive numbers, of course, offensive plays. That's why the Chiefs, while they did everything they could, had very little left in the tank to stop the Pats in overtime. If you look at the number of plays per drive, starting out the game, the Patriots had a 15-play drive. Man, did it look a lot like the way they started out against the Chargers? Though that game was, of course, at Gillette Stadium. But it was efficient. It was methodical. It was steady. It was balanced. There was the healthy dose of Sony Michel because they were trying to run the ball. They start out the game with a 15-play drive. And that right there serves notice about the Patriots' game plan. the second drive of the game for the Pats, even though it ended with the Reggie Ragland interception in the end zone, 11-play drive. Their next drive was a punt, 8 plays. Another 8-play drive before the half that finished with a touchdown. The shortest drive they had all game was the 2-play drive that resulted in the interception. And that's the following the Julian Edelman, did he touch it, did he not touch it? But 10 plays, 15 plays, 13-play drive in overtime. The Chiefs defense was gassed. So how incredible to see the game plan that Bill Belichick and his coaching staff put together different from what the Patriots normally do. You want to keep Pat Mahomes, the future MVP, from hurting you on his field with his fans? Well, then don't give him the football. And the Patriots dominated time of possession. They essentially played keep away from Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know if you guys remember week 6 when these two teams met at Gillette Stadium. There were 30 points scored in the fourth quarter. I think it was a 16-14 split in the fourth quarter. You know, in the fourth quarter of this game, 38 points scored. These two teams, they like to save the best for last. And of course, then the touchdown with the Patriots in overtime. So you consider fourth quarter and overtime, 44 points in the fourth quarter and overtime. And again, the Pats played offense to perfection. Even with the mistakes, even with the interceptions, I get it. Tom Brady wasn't perfect, but the run game was huge. For them to be able to possess the ball as much as they did and have 176 yards rushing as a team, you cannot overstate those basics and those fundamentals for the Patriots. Not to mention the offensive line in front of Brady. Do you want to know how many times he was sacked? None. Want to know how many times he was hit? I'm not kidding about this. I'm not making this up. No sacks, one quarterback hit. Tom Brady will pick you apart if you do not put pressure on him. And the Chiefs could not get through that offensive line. They could not get pressure on him. So the run game was on point. They were able to mix up the offense, and they could not get to Brady. He had all day in the pocket. One quarterback hit. One. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Couple of things that made me laugh out of this game. Then we'll get some post-game reaction. But a couple of things that made me laugh. So the irony, you guys remember the punt that Julian Edelman, for some inexplicable reason, tried to field. I guess because he was trying to prevent that football from caroming toward the 1 yard line, the 2 yard line. But it kind of felt like at the rate that ball was traveling, it would have gone through the end zone anyway. Regardless, Julian Edelman tries to field a punt, and the ball's bouncing in this odd way, and it bounces up and through his hands and just by his shoulder. And initially, this is called a fumble. That's would have been the call on the field. Essentially, that the ball touched Julian Edelman, and then it was the Chiefs' recovery. Now, they couldn't advance it for a touchdown, but they thought they had possession until the replay. And here's the part that cracked me up. Edelman is essentially arguing that he completely whiffed. He's telling the referees, no, I sucked at actually making the play. I didn't make a play. I completely whiffed. The ball never touched me. So in essence, his argument is, I did my job really poorly. I never touched the football.
No, everyone thinks we suck.
So that the irony of that made me laugh, though I tweeted about it, and the genius of my tweet was completely lost on you. You're still yelling at me about it. But yeah, the irony is that in order to argue for the call that it wasn't a fumble, he had to argue that he screwed up. And so anyway, on replay is a tough replay, but it turns out not to be a Patriots fumble, although 2 plays later, the ball goes right through Edelman's hands and is intercepted. Seriously, from the category of you can't make this stuff up, just that made me laugh. And also, the roughing the passer call on Tom Brady, are you kidding me? He was barely touched. Stop it. I know he's old, but he's not feeble and frail. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so those are a couple of things that made me laugh about this game. For sure. I mean, I've kind of given you the reasons why the Patriots were able to win, keeping it away from Pat Mahomes, and that certainly applies to overtime. But what a thrill we got with Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs able to force overtime at least. Damian Williams had 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. It was too little too late for the Chiefs. They got moving too late after being down 14-0 at the half. But his 3rd touchdown of the fourth quarter actually puts the Chiefs in front with 2 minutes to go. And, of course, the Patriots are going to answer with a quick drive for the go-ahead touchdown. And typically, it's kind of a bit of a role reversal, right? You leave 39, 35 seconds on the clock, and uh-oh, watch out for Tom Brady. This is what he does. And even though it wasn't necessarily a handoff, this wasn't a passing of the baton to Pat Mahomes because the Chiefs aren't in the Super Bowl. It was kind of cool to have that role swap where instead of it being too much time left on the clock for Tom Brady, it's too much time left on the clock for Pat Mahomes. So KC gets the ball back with 39 seconds left, and there are a pair of long pass plays, and boom, right away they're into field goal range. And we get Harrison Butker tying the game with a 39-yard kick. So that I thought was kind of neat. A neat twist, because what do you always worry about with Tom Brady? Late in games, if there's any time left on the clock, generally, he's going to come through and he's going to make a play or 2 or 3. But in this case, it was Bill Belichick who was tossing his tablet on the sidelines. I couldn't quite tell if it bounced. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So, Patriots win the coin flip, same as the Saints. Patriots win the coin flip, and they do what they've done all game long. They don't allow Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs to touch the ball. And you can point to the coin flip and say that decided it, but the last time I checked, the coin did not convert 3 third and tens on the same drive. 3 third and tens. Julian Edelman with a couple of catches down the middle that are extremely tough. And they were also called by Tony Romo on CBS. My gosh, he was killing it. And fun to watch because he still gives you that kid in a candy store kind of giddiness with how much he loves football. So a pair of 3rd and 10 catches for Julian Edelman straight down the middle. And then Rob Gronkowski, who against the Chargers, in fact, in the last, month and a half, had been relegated to big-time blocker when he was even healthy and on the field. But he does have a handful of catches in this one. He gets 15 yards into the red zone. And then Rex Burkhead, the last 3 touches of the game, including the touchdown run that was almost a foregone conclusion at that point. Again, the time of possession, the ball control, the run game, the offensive line. The Patriots executed in those areas to perfection. And even though we got Mahomes magic and we got some flash and dash and we got some excitement at the end, everything the Patriots did to build up to overtime wore out the Chiefs defense. And Kansas City was never able to put a stop to that game-winning drive. So you'll hear from Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, as well as Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, their honesty about how much this hurts. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Light to the right of Brady, who drops in the gun between the hashes. 2 receivers left, single wide right. Brady gets the shot and snap. 4-man rush. Brady will throw over the middle. Edelman open. He's got it at midfield and falls forward to the 45 of Kansas City. 20-yard pickup on 3rd and 10. Julian Edelman wide open over the middle. Patriots have converted 4 straight on 3rd down. This is 3rd and 10 at the Chiefs 45. 2 receivers to either side. Brady to throw, sets, throws over the middle. Edelman's got it again, and a first down slanting from right to left to the 30-yard line. He picks up 15, Charvarius Ward with the tackle, but again, Julian Edelman converts on third and long. Third and 10 coming up for New England, their third and 10 of this drive. They've converted the previous two.
Well, they're 12 of 18 on the day. They've dominated this down, whether it's short yardage or long yardage. Last time it was a slant to Edelman.
Edelman is in the slot to the right. One of three receivers to the right side. On third and 10, Brady throws. It's a slant to Gronkowski, who makes the catch at the 20 and then falls forward to the 15. Eric Berry with the ankle tackle, but a 15-yard pickup. And another third and 10 conversion. That's three third and 10 conversions on this drive for Tom Brady.
Waddle checks in, an extra tackle.
It's all your bigs.
Devlin is in. Burkhead.
Allen.
Behind him. Allen to the left along with Gronkowski. Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Incredible final drive for the New England Patriots. An overtime in Kansas City that put them into their third straight Super Bowl. Kevin Kugler with the trio of third down conversions. Not just third down conversions, but third and tens that were converted by Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski to get into the red zone. And then finally Rex Burkhead with the clincher to send the Pats to the Super Bowl and to stun the Chiefs. 37-31 the final. Kevin on Westwood One and then Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak on the Patriots Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So for the Patriots, at Tom Brady specifically, there had been this idea of them as underdogs. Now, just because Vegas was attempting to get people to lay money here or there with their line does not make the Patriots underdogs. Legit. Real world underdogs. To me, because there's no shortcut for experience, even with the Chiefs having that incredible home field advantage, the Patriots to me were still the team. Because of their dominance in the AFC, because the fact that there isn't anything that Tom Brady has not seen on the football stage, and how many big games he's won. To me, this still felt like a game in which the Patriots had the upper hand. Again, I know Vegas didn't look at it that way, but certainly it was one of the themes over the last couple of weeks for Brady, for Julian Edelman, for other Patriots, to label themselves as underdogs and to kind of take that and run with it. Us against the world.
Suck.
Exactly. Everyone thinks we suck. Certainly this wasn't easy, but the Patriots had done this before. Just different venue for Brady.
You know, you play on the road, it's going to be tough. And, you know, what travels is running the ball, playing tough. And that's good in any weather, any condition, any environment, any stadium. You know, that was a big part of our game. And Sony ran his butt off. Rex ran his butt off. I've been swearing too much the last 30 minutes, so I'm going to try to cut back for a little bit. But it's just a great game.
There's a lot of mentally tough players in that locker room, a lot of physically tough players in that locker room, a lot of guys that just go out and compete and won't quit and just battle you no matter what the score situation. They just go out there and compete and let the chips fall where they may, and I think that's a good way to do it.
They definitely go out there and compete, but they are equipped with the perfect game plan. Bill Belichick is a genius, a mad scientist to be sure. And I'm so impressed with not only the game plan that they had specifically for Arrowhead, for the weather, for the fans, for the Chiefs. It was perfectly designed to go against the Chiefs, their strengths, their weaknesses. And yes, the players had to execute, but that game plan was marvelous.
There's science.
No way around it. And so this one is yet another feather in the cap of Coach Belichick. And yet another failure, another near miss for Andy Reid. And honestly, I was hoping that he would get another opportunity. And I still believe that there are a lot of wins and a lot of dynamic moments in the future of Pat Mahomes as long as he stays healthy. And I know that these moments for younger players, and of course he's one of those. He just finished his first full season. This is it. Other than that last game of the 2017 campaign in which they made the transition from Alex Smith to Pat Mahomes in a game that meant absolutely nothing. Mahomes is a rookie. This is his first year starting, and he's likely to be the MVP. And this moment, this loss on their own field, getting behind the way they did, having to fight all the way back in, but yet standing there and watching in overtime while the Patriots refused to give them the ball, this is a building block. It's that type of growing experience that you just can't get anywhere else.
You have to take in the hurt. I mean, you have to be accept that. I mean, this hurts. I mean, it's supposed to hurt. You put in work for this. You're doing everything you can to get to the Super Bowl and to win it. And for this opportunity to fall short, I mean, it's going to hurt. And he told us to accept that. I mean, you have to go through that. But at the same time, when you look back and then you come back and look at the bigger picture, you know that you can build off this, use this feeling as motivation to go out and find ways to win next time.
This gives us a little bit of what we have looking forward to us in the future. And that's where we'll go after we're done aching here. So, and it's a bright future. And we've got good players, and, we'll get over the hump here, the big hump.
It's definitely difficult to have that perspective in the wake of a loss like this one. Again, have to stand there on the sidelines during overtime with that sinking feeling in your gut. They're not going to give us the ball back. 1 3rd and 10 conversion. The 2nd 3rd and 10 conversion. The third one goes to Gronk. And now they've got a fresh set of downs inside the red zone. I mean, you can imagine the weight, the gut punch. But it's part of the foundation. This is not the last we're going to see of Pat Mahomes. And Andy Reid is a big reason why Mahomes and that offense had so much success this year. One more from Travis Kelce, a veteran in the league who didn't have a typical Kelce game. So credit to the Patriots defense, but also the slow start for the Chiefs in that first half.
Frustrated with how I played personally. It's got to be better for my teammates. The way we fought, I mean, can't ask for more out of the guys. It's just kind of in a loss for words, man. It's a hell of a run, and it hurts to see it end the way it did today.
Kelce ends up with 3 catches. One of them goes for a touchdown, but not a whole lot of action for him. Tyreek Hill, 1 catch. One catch. He was targeted 3 times, but that's it, just 1 catch. Sammy Watkins had over 100 yards receiving, but the Chiefs barely scratched the surface when it came to running the ball. And credit the Patriots for getting out early and forcing Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs to have to throw the ball more and become more one-dimensional. But there are so many ways in which this is a lopsided affair for the Pats, even though it went into overtime. They did exactly what they needed to do to go into Arrowhead and escape with a win. It was a brilliant game plan and pretty brilliantly executed as well. Not perfect, but you have to appreciate the way that the Patriots will morph and change and adapt. That's the kind of personnel that Bill Belichick wants. He wants guys who can be versatile, and he's got that. This may be one of his best coaching jobs yet, if you consider the transition for this team over the course of the year. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Okay, coming up next, we're going to take your phone calls. I know a lot of you want to weigh in about Championship Sunday. What will you take away from these 2 games that go into overtime? First time ever in NFL history, we get an overtime doubleheader on Championship Sunday or any single day in the NFL playoffs. It's the gift that keeps on giving. We're spoiled rotten. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back looks in the eye. Second and goal at the two. Motion across from Allen. Back to the left side goes Allen. Brady under center. Turns. Gives to Burkhead. Hole on the left side. He's in. Burkhead is in for the touchdown. And with an overtime touchdown run by Rex Burkhead, the dynasty continues for the New England Patriots. They're going to their third straight Super Bowl. 37-31, New England knocks off Kansas City on their way to Super Bowl 53.
57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down, the kick clears the line, and Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl! LA will play for the Lombardi! Greg Zuerlein from 48 in regulation and 57 in overtime. 26-23. It's over. And the Superdome is silent.
Here you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS.
Both of the home crowds were eerily silent when the games were over. Kevin Kugler with the overtime touchdown for Rex Burkhead and the Patriots on the Westwood One Radio Network, and J.B. Long of the Rams on Greg Zuerlein's second massive field goal coming in the fourth quarter and overtime. He deserves the credit, though. More people are going to point to what they feel like was the biggest moment of the game, the missed pass interference call inside of 2 minutes left in regulation. But how about Greg Zuerlein kicking a 57-yarder for the win? J.B. Long again on the Rams Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of you finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and just as well on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll try to get to some of those. But our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Bill is listening in New Hampshire. Bill, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Ms. Lawrence. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. I just wanted to give you an opinion on three different topics that you've discussed tonight and get your view after that. First one is I watched the NFC Championship, and I have to disagree slightly on the game, because I feel that actually the Saints could have won actually the game if they had called pass interference on Johnson when the Saints were heading down in the fourth quarter down into towards the end zone, that pass from Drew Brees. And I apologize if you get the wide receiver that was out there. But I remember specifically watching Johnson as he shoved him as the ball was tossed to him, and he had no chance at it. It should have been pass interference. And I believe in that particular instance that would have turned the game around, and actually the Saints wouldn't have been able to ultimately win that game. And then secondly, as a longtime Patriot fan, you know, up here in New England, I felt last week the Patriots had their best game of the season, best by far, the best game, executing both on the offense and defensive line, special teams. They controlled the game. They managed the game very well from the get-go. I mean, to score 30-something points in the first half and then to be able to maintain and hold over into the second half, which in turn came up to this game tonight, I thought they weren't as good as they were last weekend, I felt that it was important, as you said, that they needed to have that start of scoring right away. And I felt the offense was on point today that helped them. Of course, Brady is phenomenal in controlling the game and also executing. Except for, you know, obviously those few interceptions he had. But I felt actually a couple of them were tipped. So, you know, overall, I thought their execution of the plan with Belichick in his plan was outstanding. The defense, however, they will have to be tighter come come to the Super Bowl time period, because obviously Jackson, one of the defensive backs, had some really, really crucial penalties that could have cost us the game today as well. But overall, as a diehard Patriot fan, because we're critical of our teams, but we love them all the same, I have a feeling, you know, they'll come out with a bigger plan against the Rams and hopefully beat them again in the Super Bowl. But with that in mind, I thought they played well. And again, their execution style will continue to improve. And they looked a heck of a lot better than they did all season, the last two games.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady said they've played their best football over the last four games. And definitely the bye made a huge difference. And that worked for all four of the teams had the first weekend off. They all looked fresher in the trenches, each of them able to run the ball. And the Patriots carried that forward. The dominance, especially of their offensive line, to not allow Brady to get sacked, but also really not to face a whole lot of pressure. The only time he got hit, one time in the entire game, that's really amazing. And even though the Chiefs adjusted to come out in the second half to try to move that line, that was one area where the Patriots made a huge difference. And I think it's a credit to them the way they played the ball control game, because by the end of it, by overtime, the Chiefs defense was completely wiped out. 90 something plays on offense for the Patriots. And what I've seen from some defensive players, former NFL defensive players, is by the time you get to 55 or 60 snaps as a defense, you're already worn out. 90-something into overtime. So no wonder they were having a hard time making a play. Bill, thank you so much for your phone call from New Hampshire, 855-212-4227. Carlos in Texas, welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, Amy.
Hi.
Hey. Oh, do you hear me?
Sir, just go ahead. You're good.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, Tom Brady's out there. Oh, man.
All right, so that didn't work out. Max is listening in San Francisco. Max, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. How you doing? First time, long time.
Awesome. Thanks, Max.
No, absolutely. I love the show. I think you're a great radio personality. I listen to you every night. I just want to thank you for being probably the most unbiased radio broadcast I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it doesn't work if you're biased, because then part of your audience doesn't want to listen. My entire job is to get as many people to listen as possible.
Well, you do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
But either way, you know, I just, speaking of unbiased, I'm actually a 49ers fan. I hate the Patriots. You know, it's hard. The only thing that they've done well in their career or their lifetime, if you ask me, is give us Jimmy Garoppolo. However, I just want to say that...
Just out of curiosity, why do you hate them? Because their success has eclipsed that of Montana? I mean, why do you hate them?
Well, I think Montana's the GOAT, and everyone's trying to say Brady's the GOAT.
Well, it's fine. You can have your opinion. I think John Elway's the GOAT, so, you know. Well, I'm teasing. But I think, I mean, he's the best quarterback of all time. So we can all have our own opinions about the GOATs and the runs and the dynasties and everything else, but I don't know that that's a good reason to hate the Patriots.
Oh, they are just so good. That's
exactly. It's jealousy. It's not hatred, man.
No, I 100% agree. I think it's the whole, if there's a basketball connection to it, it's the whole why the country hates LeBron James and wants to root against them. It's just they're so good. But either way, sorry, Amy, I'm rambling. What I wanted to call in was people are complaining about the overtime rules. A lot of people are calling up from Kansas City saying, we have a great quarterback in Mahomes, which they do. I totally agree. But, you know, not even giving him a chance. But that's why there's two sides of the ball. That's why you have an offense, you have a defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people calling in and complaining about that is just completely irrelevant and unfair. It's, make a stop, force them a field goal. I think that's why the NFL changed their rules a couple of years ago to say, a field goal is not good enough to win. Where I think it's a big loser mentality of people calling in and just saying it's not fair that, we didn't even give Mahomes a shot. Well, tell your defense to make a stop.
Yeah, no, and I think, Max, sorry to cut in, I think we have the perfect answer to that in the NFC Championship. The Saints got the ball first, and what did we get? We got the Rams making a play. Dante Fowler getting in the face of Drew Brees. He throws a ball that he shouldn't have. Under pressure, it goes straight up in the air and comes straight down into the breadbasket of John Johnson, who's laying on the ground. I mean, that's the stop that the Chiefs needed to come up with. And they almost had it in regulation. So I didn't mention this before, but the D Ford lining up in the neutral zone and getting the offsides penalty when his teammates had picked off Brady for essentially an interception that would have ended the game. I mean, that's painful. So there was a stop there that they weren't able to hang on to because of a mistake. But yeah, I mean, you've got two teams who both win that coin flip. One succeeds and is able to keep the ball away from the other, while the Saints do not. And so, yeah, you can complain about the coin flip all you want, but you've got two games in which the teams who won the coin flips had very different outcomes.
I totally agree, Amy. I totally agree. And one last question, just because I'm a loyal fan of the show. What is your favorite cheese?
My favorite cheese? I'm a huge mozzarella fan. I could eat mozzarella at any time with pretty much anything. But I also like Colby Jack. That's probably a close second.
Amy, and that's why I love you, just how easygoing you are about it. Thank you so much. I'm a huge fan of the show. Keep doing what you're doing, girl.
It's good to talk to you. I appreciate your phone call in the Bay Area. See, I just have to continue on this campaign of mine, which is you don't actually hate them. You're just jealous of them. All of that talk last week about how the teams that are most hated in the NFL, in the NBA, in hockey, in baseball, those are also the teams that could vie for the label of America's team. They are one and the same. So yes, familiarity breeds contempt in many cases, and that is actually where we're getting with the New England Patriots. And you know, the Warriors are not that far behind. The fact is they've had an extended run of success. Patriots, I'm talking about here, with third consecutive Super Bowls. Is that five of the last six? And to have Brady and Belichick go to their ninth Super Bowl and have this same storyline, though these are completely different teams, other than Brady and Belichick, obviously, you're not talking about the same crew going back to the 2001 season. For the most part, a lot of the players who were active in 2001 are now retired. I met Jake Delhomme over the summer, and I asked him, do you ever think about the fact that both Adam Vinatieri and Tom Brady are still playing? And he just shook his head and said, I can't believe it. I could never have survived that long in the NFL. And so this is not the same Patriots team, but I get it. You're hearing about them over and over and over again. Some of you ready for fresh blood? Well, you get it with the Rams, their first Super Bowl since the 01 season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.